Morning. Today's daf is Vachim, Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis and Mud Beis. We are almost at the two dots on Yud Beis and Mud Beis, a short daf from yesterday. So let us wrap up our daf, start the new Mishnah. We talked yesterday about Dichui. Dichui came up as a point of discussion yesterday, as we were really going back to the discussion of Ben Becerra and Rabbi Yehoshua. Ben Becerra and Rabbi Yehoshua were arguing about how to look at the 14th of Nisan, specifically the morning of the 14th of Nisan. Torah instructs us to take the Karban Pesach and Shechta Bein Arba'im. We also know, based on the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that if I shech the Karban Pesach, Shelo L'shmo Bizmano, and if I do it in its right time, so that's a psul, that's a disqualification of the Karban. So the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis taught us, what would it be if I shech the Karban Pesach, Shelo L'shmo on Erev Pesach, but not in the afternoon of the 14th, but rather on the morning of the 14th. So the morning of the 14th, the Rabbi Yehoshua says, it's no different than shechting on the 13th. Morning of the 14th and the 13th are one and the same, meaning Shalom Bizmano, and therefore it's going to be Pasul. But meanwhile, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Ben Becerra taught us that no, if I shecht in the morning of the 14th on the Shalom Bizmano, Shalom Lishmo on the morning of the 14th, so that's not going to render the animal Pasul. Does that mean that it's an acceptable time to bring it as a Karban Pesach? So no, it's not an acceptable time, although the Gemara did entertain that idea yesterday. For a little bit, the Gemara thought that maybe according to Ben Becerra, you can actually offer the Karban in the morning of Yudal Nisan. What are you going to do with the Pesukim Ebein Harbaim? The Gemara asked that question, and the Gemara attempted to give answers. But when all said and done, the Gemara quoted B'Shem Rav Yochanan, no, in the morning of Yudal Nisan. So on one hand, it's not Ke'ilu, according to Ben Becerra. It's not Ke'ilu, it's not like the 13th. In other words, but what it does is it shares. Since it's sharing a day together with the same day in which you can bring the Karban Pesach, i.e. the afternoon, so therefore the morning, it's not a Zman HaKrava, but at the same time, it's not a low Zman HaKrava. It's somewhere in the middle. It exists in the state of limbo. So in the morning of the 14th, so it's not a Karban Pesach, but at the same time, it kind of is. So it is a Karban Pesach, but I can't offer it. So if it's a Karban Pesach and I can't offer it, so then doesn't that bring us to the problem of Dichui, which is what the Gemara articulated yesterday. So it could bring us to a problem of Dichui, and the Gemara noted, ultimately when all said and done, there is no Dichui, and the reason why there's no Dichui is because really all we're looking at is Mechusar Zman, meaning all we have to do is just simply wait till the afternoon. Waiting a period of time is not considered a Dichui. Just like the Gemara gives the example, just like, let's say I do Maisa Behema, but I do it on the eve of the eighth day of an animal. Animal can only be brought as a carbon on its eighth day and onward. Yamashmini Vahala. Let's say you do Meiser, you take off Meiser the night before. The night before, it's not yet fit to be brought as a carbon, meaning it can only be brought as a carbon the next day. So the Gemara pointed out, yeah, but that's fine because that is not subject to, it's not subject to a psul. All you have is Mechusar Zman. Laila is not Mechusar Zman. And so therefore the Gemara says it's okay. Similarly over here, we could say the same thing. The morning of the 14th, I can't bring it as a Karban Pesach, but all we're really looking at is Mechusar Zman, and so therefore it's not going to be considered Dichui. What would be examples of Dichui? So that's what we said over yesterday as we turn from Yud Beis Amud Aleph to Yud Beis Amud Beis. Examples of Dichui, says the Gemara, let's say, Ula gives these examples, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say a person has set aside a Karban, and he becomes a Mummer. And then he decides that he's, you know, I'm no longer going to be a Mummer, I'm going to come back. And he reintroduces himself into Yiddishkeit. So that's wonderful, but he can't bring the carbon. As a mummer is not allowed to bring a carbon. And so once it's nidche, once it's pushed off, so that's it, it's pushed off. Another example, said the Gemara yesterday, is let's say a person becomes a shota. He sets aside a carbon, then becomes a shota, and then nishtapeh, and then he becomes healed. This also would be an example of dichui, and such a carbon could not be brought because it existed at a point in time where the carbon itself was pasul. And so therefore it remains puzzle. The Gemara is going to give another example. This is where we up to yesterday. The Gemara, we finished off yesterday, is the Trichusa. Why do I need both cases? We did that yesterday. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. So we are on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara now entertains another question. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, achal chelev, v'hifrish carbon. So let's say a person eats chelev b'shogeg, sets aside his carbon chatas, and then, in the interim, Hora Basin, Shechelev Mutter. Now, Basin comes along and Basin issues a ruling that the consumption of Chelev would be Mutter. Okay, we know, this does not take us back that long ago in Masech Tahorios, that if you have a Basin that gives a Hora, that gives a ruling, so Yachid Sha'asa Baraz Basin Potter. So if an individual does it based on the erroneous ruling of a Basin, so then such an individual will not have to bring a carbon chatas. So now we have over here, We do have now a disqualification of the carbon, but for a really external reason, meaning previously was a slightly external reason, meaning the owner of the carbon becomes pasul. Over here, it's really external because it has to do with a basin issuing an erroneous ruling. So mahu, so mi havi dichui, lo havi dichui, would this be an example of dichui, yes or no? So amalei usaba, so this elderly individual came along and he said, ki pasach Rabbi Yochanan bidichuyin, you know, Rabbi Yochanan would give shir on dichui. Meaning, in other words, in the shir klali in the yeshiva, so Rabbi Yochanan says, today's topic is dichui, what's the first example he gives? I mean, hi pasach. So this is the first example that he gives. So, meaning?
Why not the other one?
Right. So the meaning that he did consider this to be an example of dichui. My time, ahasim gavre idchei carbon lo idchei hacha carbon nami idchei. And over here, and I'm going to say over the Gemara like Rashi, because in the cases of mummer and shota, so over there it's the person and only the person, meaning that really the only disqualification in the carbon is on the person itself. So there, that's even a bigger chiddush. Mashenkin over here, where we're talking about, we're based and issued a hara'ah, which means now that you don't need to bring a carbon, and that means that the carbon doesn't need to be brought, meaning so the dichui now is going both on you and on the carbon, so under those circumstances, so pashut, obviously this would be an example of dichui. This is how Reb Yochanan, when he gave shir, this is how he opened up. So hacha carbon nami idchei. So here also, the carbon is also an idchei, and so therefore, over here it represents less of a chiddush. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, Amar Shimon ben Azim mekublanim pi shivim v'shtayim zakein. And then, Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, in the Mishnah said, as a closing statement of the Mishnah back on Yudalf Amid Beis, so he said that, that any karban that shechta shloshma would be kasher, except for Pesach and Chatas, and he says, b'shem 72 zakeinim, v'lo hosiv ben Azai ela ha'ola. And he added a carbonola as well, for reasons which we're about to explain. But then the Mishnah concluded, v'lohod lo chachamim, but the chachamim did not agree with that position of adding on the carbonola. Amar Rav Huna, we're back to the Gemara, starting the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, my time at the Ben Azai, ola hu, isheri chnichoch la'ashem. So we have the word hu when it relates to carbonola, and remember, the word hu tipped us off. So hilishmak sher shaloshma psula. When you have the word hu, it tells us that it has to be done specifically in this manner, meaning lishma. And if I have a shaloshma regarding the carbonola, it would be puzzle. So the Gemara says, Hashem namiksiv behu. So the Gemara says, okay, but if that's the key word as it relates to the carbonola, shouldn't we say the same thing regarding the carbon Hashem as well? Now you'll remember that Rabbi Eliezer did include the carbon Hashem, but we're not talking about the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. We are discussing Shimon ben Azai and the 72 Zakenim, which only add the carbonola. So if it's based on who, the inclusion of the word who, same thing should be true with the Hashem. The Gemara says, no, the Gemara says, the word who over there, by Karban Hashem, we've made this point already numerous times, that's only going on the Haktaras Imurim, the burning of the limbs and the inner, not the limbs, but the burning of the insides of the Karban Hashem. And so that is a non-essential avoda. So, hainami lacha Haktaras Imurim hu dechsev. So the Gemara says, okay, but the carbonola also, the word who is said in relationship to the burning of the limbs. So trehu ksiva. The Gemara says, no, but it says who, not once, but twice as it relates to carbonola. So gabi hashem nami trehu ksiva. Yeah, but by carbon hashem also it says who twice. So ela benazah bekavachomer maisilas. The Gemara says, you're right. Meaning it's not based on the word who, benazah arrives at the conclusion not using ribuyim, but rather using a kavachomer. The Gemara articulates a kavachomer. So when you have a carbon chatas, which is not totally burnt on the mizbeach, and meanwhile a machshava shalosh shma is going to pasul, ola she kalah lo kol shekein. So when it comes to the carbonola, which is totally burnt on the mizbeach, so for sure the machshava should pasul. The Gemara challenges this kavachomer, mal chatas shekein mechaperes. So yeah, but the chatas of course provides a kapara, and ola carbonola does not provide a kapara. So pesach yochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, but the carbon pesach is there to balance our, now we can call it a mematzinu. Malapesach, meaning the carbon pesach is not providing a kapara. So the Gemara says, malapesach shekein zmanu kavua. Yeah, but the pesach has to be brought at a specific time. Chatas tochiach. Okay, but the carbon chatas does not have to be brought at a specific time. V'chazar din lo rizek rizev, lo rizek rizev. So as we're now looking at the carbon pesach and the carbon ola, and just quickly shuffling back and forth between the two, so they're not the same, obviously. Again, ola is totally burnt. Karban Pesach has a specific time in which it's offered, but but meanwhile, they are both karbanos shechta shloshma would be pasul. Afani avi olam she kachim v'shachta shloshma pasul. So therefore, we're going to add the ola as well. So it's a karban, and therefore, v'shechta shloshma it would be pasul. So we're going to use it now as a mematzino. The Gemara says, "Malat zara shavish mehem she yesh behem tzad kareis." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but even as I'm looking at the karban chatzis and karban Pesach." And you're right, they're not identical, but they do share common characteristics, notably that they both have kares attached to them. And so therefore, and of course that's not true by the carbon ola, there's no kares by carbon ola. So the Gemara says, Ben Azai said kares lo parach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this doesn't bother Ben Azai. Now why doesn't it bother Ben Azai? So Rashi explains. Because let's talk about kares as it relates to carbon chatzis versus as it relates to carbon Pesach. The carbon chatzis, what's the relationship of carbon chatzis and kares? It's mechaper, meaning that because a person did something which, if done b'mezid, would bring about kares, so chatzis is mechaper for the kares, or for the kares avera. What about the carbon Pesach? The carbon Pesach is not there to provide a kapara. It's that failure to bring the carbon Pesach will result in kares. So yes, there's kares both by chatzis and by Pesach, but it's not the same kares. By chatzis, it's mechaper on the kares. By carbon Pesach, you only get kares if you don't bring the carbon Pesach. So tzad kares lo parach. So the fact that it's a common denominator, Ben Azai says it's not a common denominator. So Asham Nami Laisi. So now that we're here, so now that's how he includes the carbon ola. So the Gemara says, okay, include the carbon ola, include the carbon Asham as well. So Asham parach malat tzad shavah shabem shekein yeshna mitzibur kibiyachet. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why the Asham does not get included according to Ben Azai. Because even though the Karban Pesach and the Karban Chatzis, even though they don't share a kares, a kares common denominator, but you know what they do share? They do share a tzibur common denominator. Karban Chatzis could be brought by a tzibur. A Karban Pesach is being brought by the tzibur, which I'll explain better in just a second. But that's and that's certainly true by the carbon ola. Carbon ola can be brought by the tzibur. In fact, it's done twice every day. But when it comes to carbon asham, there is no such thing as a carbon asham brought by the tzibur. Carbon asham is limited and relegated to the yachid, not the tzibur. That's why even within this limud, we're not going to bring in the carbon asham. Let's just back up for just a second. Carbon Pesach is considered carbon tzibur. Yes and no. Meaning, the Gemara over here says, Gemara says it's a carbon tzibur, so we have to explain it. Meaning we have no choice but to explain it. But if you think about it, the carbon Pesach doesn't really share, it doesn't really have the nature of a carbon tzibur. What is a carbon tzibur typically? Carbon tzibur is monies that are taken from publicly collected funds. Meaning everyone contributes a machatzis a shekel, and from that machatzis a shekel, it's pulled together, and now we have the operating funds necessary in order to buy the carbon tzibur. When you're talking about a Karban Pesach, so you're not tapping into public money. Karban Pesach is paid for by individuals. Not only is it paid for by individuals, it's brought by individuals. But it's brought by everybody. So Karban Pesach is such an interesting phenomena. Okay, that means that's all, right? In other words, right. It's all part of that family of argument. Meaning that because everybody brings a Karban Pesach at the same time, so in that regard, it's called a carbon tzibur. Rashi, the point that I just made, Rashi says it really succinctly. He does a much better job than I did. Rashi says it's brought b'knufya, meaning everyone getting together, everyone assembling together. So therefore, the carbon Pesach can be viewed, is viewed, as a carbon tzibur. And also, obviously, the carbon chatzis can be brought as a carbon tzibur, but the asham is not brought as a carbon tzibur. Right. In other words, that's a notable difference between carbon Pesach versus a standard carbon tzibur. That part's true.
But then the question becomes, what considers tzibur?
Right. In other words, what puts something in the category of tzibur? So,
because in the tzibur also, in the korban chatzis or tzibur, everybody's...
Agreed. But the Gemara says it over here. So, uben azai, I'm sorry. E by same outside karis nami parach. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, you know what, maybe ben azai does like the original pircha, meaning that you can't learn from chatas and karban Pesach because they both have kares. Now, I know a couple lines earlier, the Gemara dismissed that, but the Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe we're not going to dismiss it. Maybe Ben Azai takes that pircha very seriously. And if he does, Ben Azai Gemara Gamir Lam, as far as why he also includes a karban ola as well, tradition. Meaning he has it as a, let's call it a halacha Moshe Mi Sinai. I'm not using those words super literally, but in other words, he has it as a tradition. Now Rav Huna, when he was teaching over the Ashita ben Azay, he was doing so via Kavachomer. So lo amra ela lechadeid ba tamidav. No, in other words, Rav Huna was teaching Kavachomers. Basically, they were practicing Kavachomers, meaning you want to sharpen the mind, you want to see if you can make cogent arguments and see if you can make a Kavachomer. It happens to be that ben Azay is not predicated on the Kavachomer. But what Rav Huna enjoyed doing is sharpening his students and seeing, well, let's make a Kav HaChomer. Let's see if we can deduce, if we can argue a Kav HaChomer. And he sharpens his students' minds in doing so. Okay. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are now continuing in the Mishnayos. We are, in other words, as far as the Gemara is concerned, this is our second Mishnah. Well, no, that's not true. In other words, we had a Mishnah back on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. But in terms of the actual Mishnayos, so, you know, the Mishnayos break it up in much smaller units. But in any event. The Mishnah over here is going to continue along its discussion of Lishma versus Shinui Kodesh, that if I shecht a carbon, it has to be done Lishma. So again, for all the other carbonas outside of Pesach and carbon chatas, so the carbon is still kosher. It's lo elo shelo alu labalim l'shem chova. Just not going to get, the owner's not going to get credited for bringing the carbon. But as it relates to the Pesach and the carbon, and carbon chatas, so a shelo lishma would be a posel. Says the Mishnah, so apesa v'chatzah sheshachten shalosh man kibah v'halach v'zarach shalosh man. So the first point the Mishnah is making is that the machshava of shalosh ma, as it relates to carbon pesach and carbon chatzas, in that it will pass all these carbonos, so the shalosh ma will register during any one of the four avodas. I know we've said this over many times, but here the Mishnah is formally teaching us this point, that if you have a machshava of shalosh ma, either during the shechitas of carbon or the Kabbalah Saddam, the accepting of the blood, or the Halacha, the walking of the blood over to the Mizbeach, or Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood onto the Mizbeach, if Shaloshma occurs during one of those four avodas, so by Pesach and Mechatas, it's Pasal. The next point of the Mishnah, O Lishman v'Shaloshman, O Shaloshman v'Lishman, Psulim. The next point of the Mishnah is that let's say you have a double Machshava during any one of the avodas. So let's say during one avoda, let's say Kabbalah Saddam, you're receiving the blood, and during that one avoda, you have both kavanas, meaning as you're receiving the blood, you're saying this is going to be for Karm Pesach, and then you say it's going to be for Karm Shlomim. In fact, the Mishnah gives exactly this example. Let's read on the Mishnah. Ketzad, Lishman v'shalo Lishman. L'shem Pesach, L'shem Shlomim. Shalo Lishman v'lishman. Now all we're doing now is just reversing the order, and the Mishnah's point is it doesn't matter. So Shalo Lishman v'lishman, L'shem Shlomim, L'shem Pesach. So it does, even though the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though you had a correct machshava during this avoda, but because you also had an incorrect machshava during the avoda as well, so you're still now going to disqualify, the halach is still going to disqualify the karban because you had a machshava shal lishma, even though it was coupled with a machshava of lishma.
Correct.
And that's exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah. Right, that's right.
Don't we go to the vice versa, last machshava, like usually, like in...
Yes, in other words, in other areas of Nedarim, right, the question of whether you follow his first point or his last point, but anyway, but okay, but in other words, by machshava... I wouldn't say dichui, I would just simply say it's a machshava shalolishma, meaning you've passed the carbon based on the machshava shalolishma, and again, I understand, that's exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah, even though it was coupled with the lishma. Now, Nifsal, that as far as the carbon is concerned, it will become pasul at 4 points. Now, I know the Mishnah already made this point already, so there is a bit of redundancy in the Mishnah. But I'd like to suggest, however, that this line of the Mishnah is really setting us up for the next point of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon Machshir Behiluch. That as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, they're not dalal avodas, but there are three avodas, meaning that according to Rabbi Shimon, halacha, obviously it's important, meaning you do need to walk the blood over to the Mizbeach, but as he's going to articulate in just a moment, it's not significant for reasons which we're about to point out why, and therefore a machshava, according to Rabbi Shimon, during halacha, does not register as a posel. Now, why is halacha, according to Rabbi Shimon, not significant? Because the Mishnah over here spells it out, Shaya Omer, Yefshah Shlo B'Shchita, V'Shlo B'Kalabala, V'Shlo B'Zrika. Because look, as far as doing an avoda with a carbon is concerned, so can you do without shechita? Of course not. Meaning, you have to shech the animal. Can I do without kabbalas adam? Of course not. Meaning, because if I don't do kabbalas adam, the blood's going to go on the floor. Can I do without Zrika? Well, again, the answer, of course, not. In other words, Zrika is the Mechaper. However, but can I do without Halacha? Sure, we could take out Halacha. And how are we going to take it out? Shechem B'tzana Mizbeach V'Zarek. It's very simple. Because you could shecht an animal proximate to the Mizbeach, and now I don't need to do Halacha. So since it's something that is not necessary, it's not an absolute, so therefore Rabbi Shimon says in terms of having machshava during the halacha, so therefore it's not going to translate into a machshava's psul.
Walking up the ramp is that going to halacha or not?
Again, we're talking just about the dam.
Like,
you're not going to be walking up the ramp.
They don't go on top and then do the
for the chatas, you're right. For the chatas, they do walk up the ramp and they do go around. So is that considered part of the halacha? Could be over here, but meaning I it's easier to make this point regarding Karban Pesach. So Karban Pesach, you just be right next to the Mizbeach and do away with Halacha.
Zerika was the most important thing to take effect for the Korban to take effect.
Right.
So this is for Pesach and the
for every Karban.
Every single Karban.
For
others like Shlamim.
Every Karban.
For Shlamim also?
Meaning if the Shlamim is a Neder, let's say for example, and so therefore when are you going to get credited for bringing the Shlamim? So the Zerika Saddam.
Same.
These are universal points as it relates to karbanos. All karbanos are going to be subject to the shalosh ma. But remember,
if that's shechita, like shalamim, shechita, that's for shalamim for something else. It's accepted unless zerika is.
Well, no. In other words, there's still going to be dalavos by shalamim as well.
Right,
again, the big difference, of course, is that shalamim it's not a poso. The Mishnah over here is talking about Pesach and Chatas because.
Right.
We're looking at a postal. We're looking at something that disqualifies. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mahalik b'makom shegut zarech lahalik machshavas poselas, b'makom she'en zarech lahalik ein machshava poselas. Now, Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah, or Rabbi Eliezer, takes kind of like a middle position regarding halacha. If it's halacha that's necessary, meaning it's like a beeline to the mizbeach, so then a machshava during such a halacha would be significant and would be a postal if it's a Pesach or Chatas. But let's say you're meandering, so you have the blood, and you're not making a direct line to the Mizbeach, but you kind of take a detoured route. You'll say, going around the edifice of the actual Beit HaMikdash itself. You're still in the Azara, so you're taking the long way, you're taking a scenic route. So Machshava during that Olacha is not going to be significant. Okay, and we'll discuss more of that position later on. Okay, we start with the Gemara of the Kabbalah Mipasla. Now the Gemara says now, the Mishnah said, not once, but multiple times, that if you have a machshava shelo lishma during Kabbalah Saddam, so it's posel, so it disqualifies that tanya. But the Gemara says, but I'm going to quote you a brisa, vikruvu zu Kabbalah Saddam. So the Pasuk says, regarding the Karban Ola, that you're going to offer it, you're going to bring it, that's the reference to the Kabbalah Saddam. So ata omer Kabbalah Saddam, oino ola zrika. Now that's not clear, meaning it says vihikrivo, and meanwhile, it's going on the Kabbalah Saddam, maybe it's going on zrika. The Gemara says, no. Kishu omer vizarku, Hare Zrika Amur. No, because we already have a pasuk detailing Zrika. So Haman and Mikhaim Vik Rivuzu Kabbalah Saddam. So the Vihik Rivo is going on the accepting of the blood. That's avoda number two. B'nei Aaron HaKohanim Shetei B'Kohen Kasher V'Kli Sharis. And further qualification is that the avoda only will check, only will be good, if you have a Kasher Kohen doing it, wearing the Kli Sharis. Kli Sharis over here explains Rashi is not talking about the Kalim, it's talking about the Big Day Kahuna. Right? Kalim in throughout the Gemara, could either be talking about a utensil or it could be talking about clothing. Here in this context, says Rashi, we're talking about clothing. So in other words, the Kohen has to both be himself kosher and be wearing the Big Day Kahuna. Without him wearing the Big Day Kahuna, the Avodah is not an Avodah. So the Kabbalah Saddam has to be done by the Kohen while wearing his Big Day Kahuna. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Minayin LeKabbalah Shalotei Ela B'Kohen Kasher V'Kli Sharis. Rabbi Kiva says, how do I know this? That Kabbalah Saddam has to be done with the Kohen wearing Kli Sharis. Now, by the way, why we keep talking about Kabbalah in this context? Because as we've said already a number of times, shechita can be done even by a non-kohen. That's coming up later on. But in the meantime, how do I know that? So Amar Rabbi Kiva, Minan LeKabbalah Shalotei Ela B'Kohen Kasher V'Kli Sharis, Nemar Kan B'nei Aaron, V'Nemar Lahalan Ela Shemos B'nei Aaron HaKohanim HaMishuchin. So later in Bamidbar, so the Torah describes the Kohanim HaMishuchim. Ma Lahalan B'Kohen Kasher V'Kli Sharis, Avkan B'Kohen Kasher V'Kli Sharis. Just like over there, talking about a Kohen Kasher, coupled together with wearing the Big Day Kahuna. Same thing over here. Amar Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon says, HaKapech Ez Banai. Now this expression is going to sound strong and harsh. And we've heard this expression earlier in Shas as well. I will bury my children. I will literally cut off my children. I will bury my children. Im lo shamati la'avchin hefresh ben kabbalah zrika. I know there's a difference between kabbalah and zrika, and I've heard such a difference. Ein lefarish. However, now push comes to shove, I cannot articulate the difference between kabbalah and zrika, and I'll bury my children over. So I'm so distraught that I can't remember it. Okay, I understood. It's a harsh language. It's a strong language. But let's just simply say at this point in time, it really bothered him that he heard a halacha. He knows there's a difference, but he cannot articulate the difference. I'm Rabbi Kiva. I need a farsha. Rabbi Kiva says, "Okay, good. I'll explain." And so what Rabbi Kiva points out is that there's not one, but rather three differences that exist between the Kabbalah Sadam and the Zrika. One, Kabbalah lo asaba machshava kemaisa, Zrika asaba machshava kemaisa. So number one is that when it comes to Kabbalah Sadam, there's no machshava. Now, at this point in time, what it sounds like he's saying is, when he says there's no machshava, meaning machshava will not upset the carbon, won't disqualify the carbon during Kabbalah Sadam. Mashenke, when it comes to Zrika, so then a machshava will be a poso. Now, that line of Rabbi Kiva, there are two more points that we're going to make, but that line of Rabbi Kiva is very problematic because we learned in our Mishnah that there could be machshava during Kabbalah Sadam. So that's why right now we are quoting this Braisa, and we're saying over the first difference of Rabbi Akiva, and we need to explain that, but we will. Let's just get through the next two points of Rabbi Akiva. Kibla b'chutz enu chayv karis, zarku b'chutz enu shkaris. If I accepted the blood outside of the azara, so that is not subject to the karis penalty, but zrika b'chutz. If I take the blood of a carbon and I sprinkle it on the mizbech that is outside of the azara, so that is now part of the yisra of shchut echutz. In this case, we'll call it zrika b'chutz. And one is subject to the karis penalty for doing so. But the karis penalty of shchut echutz zrika b'chutz is only when done with zrika, not with kabbalah sadam. And finally, number three, kablu psulim. And by the way, just to be clear about point number two, once you take the blood out of the azara, the blood's pasul. But in other words, you don't get the karis penalty. The karis penalty only comes about when you do zrika b'chutz. Number three, kablu psulim in chayav and alav. Zarku psulim chayav and alav. If I have a non-kohen doing kabbalah, so is that a good avoda? Obviously not. But you're not going to be subject to the chi of misa for a zar doing an avoda. However, zarku psulim, but if I have a non-kohen doing the zrika, not only is that obviously not an avoda, because it's not been done by a kohen, but such a person who does that is going to be subject to misa bidei shamayim. Okay, so these are three differences that Rabbi Akiva notes that are going to distinguish between Kabbalah Sadam and Zrika. So I'm a Rabbi Tarfon. Ha'avodas, Rabbi Tarfon says, my God. At hitita yamin at, I'm sorry, the girsa, shelo hitita yamin small. You didn't deviate to the right, not to the left. Anisha mati vein lefaresh, meaning I knew there was a difference, but I couldn't articulate it. Ata dorish umaskim lishmua, umaskim lishmua. So, and meanwhile, you said it over perfectly, meaning that's absolutely right. And Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Kiva, anyone who separates from you is separating from life. Meaning, it's unbelievable. You nailed all three of them. But right now we're in the middle of a question, meaning, and let's just now set up the question. Our mission taught us more than one time that a machshava haposel, b'karmen chatzos, karmen pesach, can occur during any one of the dollar of avodos, be it shkita, kabbalah sadam, zrika, I'm sorry, holach or zrika. And meanwhile, the Brice over here has Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon praising Rabbi Akiva that by zrika, a machshava is no good. But by kabbalah sadam, a machshava doesn't register. We have what's called a problem, a stira. So amar of alakasha kam a machshava is pickle kam a machshava shaloshma. So the Gemara says no. The Brice and the Mishnah are talking about two different types of incorrect machshavas. The Mishnah is talking about a machshava shaloshma. And that does register. However, the Brice is talking about a machshava of pigol. And I'll explain all this a lot better in terms of pigol in just a moment. Take nami dekanya. And look, read the Brice again, and you'll see the Brice, it works out. Shazevach nifsa v'lo ketani mispagel. Shmamina. Because the Brice says that the carbon is nifsa, the Brice does not say it is mispagel. Shmamina, the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, a critical reading would indicate that this is in fact the correct shot in the Brice. Okay, so basically today is going to be our first, our opening day in the Masechta, talking about the idea behind pigol. The idea behind pigol we'll be discussing extensively. It comes up again and again throughout our Masechta. I told you in day one, Pigel happens to be one of those topics that the Gemara has a particular affinity towards, and so it gets a lot of airtime in our Masechta. So a lot of these ideas which I'm expressing right now, so we're going to get to hear it again and again, and it really will become like second nature to us. What, first of all, what is Pigel? So the Torah describes it in the seventh parak of Vayikra. So it's a machshava. It's a bad machshava that is done by the Kohen while he's doing the avoda, one of the dalet avodas. So the classic example of Pigel is that when the Kohen is either doing shechita or kabbalas adam or halacha or zrika, so he thinks, and when I say thinks, by the way, let's use articulation. Let's say that he says it out loud, and he thinks and he states that I plan on eating the karbon beyond its allotted time. So let's say, for example, it's a karbon shlamim. Parenthetically, by the way, the halachus of pigel, when introduced in the Torah, is done in the context of a karbon shlamim. So let's say the Kohen says, while shechting the karbon shlamim, that I plan on eating it 3 days from now. He says it. So that is now what's called the machshavas pigel. And now the animal is mispagel. In other words, it now will be classified as an animal that is undergone pigel, and therefore as a result of that, so now, once we finish the avodas of said karbon, and if somebody were then to eat and consume the karbon, so he'd be subject to karis. Okay, this is a basic outline of what pigel would look like, with many more details over here to articulate. So the Gemara is saying now, in terms of answering up the Mishnah and the Braisa, one is talking about pigel, and the other one's talking about a machshava shlo lishma, shinui kodesh. So now the Gemara is going to iron out a number of points. Machshavas pigel lo pasul b'kabbalah. Now you're telling me that pigel is not going to be a posel as it relates to Kabbalah. What are you saying? Meaning the Gemara says very clearly, the Braisa says very clearly, that pigel is going to be a problem during any one of the avodas, including Kabbalah Saddam. When the Torah is describing having the machshava pigel, anything that allows me to eat from the karbon, meaning the avodas that we do with the blood. So, what about the pouring of the remainder of the blood? Because when we're finished doing it with the zrika, so then whatever blood remains is going to be poured down the yisod ha-mizbeach. So, and what about the burning of the limbs? Meaning, the Torah outline spells out zrika. Why does the Torah now actually articulate zrika? So, lahakish ala lama lecha mazrika miyuchedesh yavoda. So the Braisa tells us that, look, the pouring of the remainder of the blood down the Yisod HaMizbeach, so that is not essential. It's part of the Avodah, but it's not essential. So when we're talking about having a Machshava Pigel, it has to be, the thorn has to occur during one of the essential Avodahs. So the Gemara says, Elo Kasha. So now, we're in the middle of a kasha as we turn to the top of Yigim Omen Beis. Meaning, because the most recent braisa that we just got done saying over is that Machsheva Pigel applies even during Kabbalah Saddam. And meanwhile, the earlier braisa says that Machsheva Pigel does not apply during Kabbalah Saddam. So the Gemara says, I'm confused, but the Gemara says, I'll unconfuse you. So, Elo Kasha, Hadamar Harini Shoch Ramanas Kabbal Dama, Lamacher Hadamar Harini Mekabbal Dama, Manas Lishboch Shirayim Lamacher. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. And I'm going to say it now in an outline form, and then I'll just simply read it back into the Gemara. Pigel has two components to it, meaning the actual machshav itself, where the Kohen says, I'm going to eat it beyond its allotted time, or it's going to be consumed. I'm going to speak a little more carefully. It's going to be consumed beyond its allotted time. So the actual machshav itself, and then what the machshav is about. Now, in terms of when the machshav occurs, the machshav, in order for it to be a pigel machshav, to transform the animal into being mispagel, so the pigel machshava must occur during one of the dalet avodas. So if the machshava pigel occurs during either shechita kabbalas adam, holacha, and or zrika, so then that is the, I'm going to say right time. There's never a right time.
Window.
Right. That is the opportunities in which a kohen can be mefagel when he has a machshava. What is the machshava going on? It must be going on an act of consumption. Now, when I say consumption, I mean it in loose terms. Consumption can either be the mizbeach consuming, or it could be the owner of the animal or the kohen consuming the carbon for those carbonos that can be consumed. So the Gemara says like this. Now let's read everything I just said. Now we can just read inside the Gemara, because that's basically what the Gemara is telling us. I'm rereading from the top line, Elalokasha. I'm shackling the animal, so in other words, did he hit the machshava at the right opportunity? Yes. What is he thinking about? How he's going to accept the blood tomorrow. Now, obviously, by the way, that's a neat trick, by the way, because if he's shackling now, right, exactly. In other words, the blood's coming out, whether he likes it or not. So, but... I understand it's an impracticality. Let's just work on right now the concepts. The concepts are is that the machshava has to be going on a consumption. The accepting of the blood is not on a consumption. That's one of the avodas. So in other words, what he failed over here is on the part of what the machshava's pickle is going on. However, let's read on. Ha'damar harin mekabel dama amenas l'shpoch shirayim l'macher. Ah. But if he's now having the machshava during Kabbalah Saddam, so is the machshava occurring at the right time? Yes. In other words, during Kabbalah Saddam. What is it going on? And how he's pouring the blood tomorrow. The pouring of the blood on Mizbeach, that's considered consumption. In other words, when you're feeding the Mizbeach, either blood or limbs, that's considered consumption. And so therefore, this would register as pigle, because it occurred at the right time, meaning during the avoda, during one of the avodas, and what the machshava's pigle is going on... is a consumption. Amalei ha'om mirabban l'rava shvicha shirayim v'ktav zimorim lo pasla b'hu machshava v'atan. The Gemara, he says, well, why don't we consider now another? Now the Gemara calls it a Mishnah, but it's a Braisa, but in any event, yachol lo te'e machshavas mo'alas ela b'achilas basar. I know that a machshava would be effective if it's going on the eating of the meat of a carbon. Minan l'rava shvicha shirayim v'ktav zimorim. How about on the pouring of the remaining of the blood down the yisod mizbeach or the burning of the limbs? The double language of heachol yeachel tells us that consumption could be any consumption. So whether it's going on the person eating or the mizbeach consuming. So the Gemara again, it's the same point now. We're just shifting our focus. Meaning that if you say that I'm going to sprinkle the blood, sprinkling the blood, that's an avoda. Meaning that's an opportunity in which terms of when you can have the machshava. What is it going on? So in other words, in order to register as pigel, it needs to be going on a consumption. So if you're sprinkling the blood saying that I'm going to be shavich shirayim tomorrow, okay, so that registers now as pigel. However, if you say that I'm going to sprinkle the blood so that I'm going to burn the limbs tomorrow, that doesn't register as pigel. Because you're not having the machshava during the avoda, during one of the dalal avodas. You're having it at a later point in time.
But isn't the imurim part of the eating of the mizbeach?
Again, we're talking right now about pigel. In order for pigel to occur, so you need these 2 points and only these 2 points. When you're having the machshava, during one of the dalal avodas, and about what you're having the machshava, it has to be going on a consumption.
So, imurim, is that considered consumption?
It is considered consumption.
So, he's
but in other words... There? But no, in other words, no. The second case is where he was thinking while spilling the blood. In other words, spilling the blood is not an avoda. Sprinkling of the blood is an avoda. But shofich shirayim, spilling the rest of the blood, that's not considered an avoda. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Chiya Shamati. I heard. Shetvilas etzma mefagels bechatas panimis. So now, the Gemara, once it talks about pigle, so it does now a deep dive into pigle. And so what we're going to be doing for the remainder of today's daf is that we're going to go really, really deep into the world of pigel. And over here we're talking about the chatas panimis. Chatas panimis are certain carbonos. Yom Kippur being the example that we hear about the most. But chatas panimis, those carbon chatases, which are not going to be sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, but rather the blood is going to be brought into the heichal, into the actual base of mikdash, into the edifice, and is going to be sprinkled on to the in the direction of the paroches, onto the mizbeach hazahav. And then this chatas is not going to be eaten by the Kohanim, but rather, it's going to be taken out and it's going to be burnt in its entirety. Okay, so this is chatas panimius. So there is no zrikas hadam as it relates to the chatas panimius. There's no sprinkling of the blood onto the mizbech achitzon. But what you do, what the Kohen does is he takes his finger, he dips into the blood, and he sprinkles it in the direction of the paroches. So, Chatzos apnimiyos. So here the avodas are going to be a little bit different. But are we still going to basically follow the same outline of Pigel? Meaning, and the way he articulates the question, I'm Rav Yehuda Bereid Rabbi Chiya Shamati, I heard, Shetvilas Etzba, that by when the Kohen sticks his finger into the blood for the Chatzos apnimiyos, so Mifa Gelas Bechatzos apnimiyos, so this in fact is going to affect Pigel. So Shama Ilfa, Amra Kameh Derab Pada, Ilfa hears this, he says it over in front of Rabbi Pada, Amra Klum Lamana Pigna Elam Ishlamin. So he says, but wait 1 second. Where is Pigel found in the Torah? It's located by Karban Shlamim. So, Ma Shlamim ain't Tvilas Etzba Mifagals Bem, Ma Avchatzos ain't Tvilas Etzba Mifagals Bem. So in other words, if Shlamim sets the prototype in which Pigel is going to work, it's going to be effective, so that means to say that in order for Pigel to happen, it has to follow one of the avodas of a Karban Shlamim. The Chatzos, there is no Tvilas Etzba, you don't dip your finger when it comes to the Shlamim. What you do when you get to the point of Zrika is that you have the bowl in your hand of blood and the Kohen just simply whips it at the Mizbeach. So there is no Tfilas Etzba. So since there's no Tfilas Etzba by Shlamim, and since that's the source material in the Torah of Pigel, so therefore there is no Pigel as it relates to Tfilas Etzba for the Chatzos Apnimiyos. So, V'chi HaKol Mishlamim Lamdu. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I know that Pigel in the Torah is located by the Karban Shlamim. But we don't learn every detail of Pigel from the Karban Shlamim. Im Ashlamim Shalolashmam Ein Motzi Midei Pigel. Avchatzos Shalolashmam Motzi Midei Pigel. And the Gemara now makes the following point. But before I explain the point, let me introduce another basic concept as it relates to Pigel. One that, again, we're going to be hearing a number of times. And that is, in order for Pigel to register, so, as I explained earlier, as the Gemara taught us earlier, so you have to have the Machshava during one of the Dala Votos, and you have to, the thought has to be about consumption. But still, that's not the full story of Pigel. The full story of Pigel is that the animal, or the Pigel only will materialize only when you do all the other avodas correctly. Now, in terms of a Kohen wanting to do all the other avodas correctly, I can certainly understand why the Kohen now at this point in time basically would like to abort mission. Meaning, he ruined it already with the Machshava Pigel. So in other words, the Karban's not going to work. So why would he go through with the other Avodas? I don't know. But as a basic rule, as it relates to Pigel, Pigel only registers only when all the other Avodas are done correctly. In other words, the expression that we're going to hear later in the Masechta is kahartza'as kasher, kahartza'as Pigel. Right? Rashi brings it down over here. But then, in other words, that just like you do a kasher karban, so too you have to do it with a pigel karban. Which means that even with a machshavas pigel, all the other avodas have to be done correctly in order for pigel to materialize. It's a funny rule. I don't know if I can, like, you know, I don't know if from a svara standpoint if I can explain it well, but it doesn't matter. Meaning that's the rule as it relates to pigel. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. If I'm offering a karban shlamim and the Kohen has a machshavas pigel, and also the Kohen also has, on top of that, a shlo lishma, either during this avoda or during another avoda. Now, did he do the rest of the avoda correctly by a shlamim? The answer is yeah. And it, again, in terms of a grade, he's not getting an A. But in other words, as we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, shlo lishma as it relates to a shlamim, it's the karban still kosher. Now, let's say same thing, but now instead of a karban shlamim, let's take a karban chatas, for example. So let's say he has a machshavas pigel, and then during one of the other avodas, he also has a shlo lishma. Does pigel register? No. The answer is no. Because by karban chatas, a shlo lishma is a posel. So I know that pigel in the Torah is located by karban shlamim. But we don't learn every single detailed halacha from the karban shlamim as the difference that we just articulated. I'll read that again in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'chi akol mishlamim lamdu im hashlamim shalolishmam ein motzi midei pigol." You see, the shalolishma by shlamim doesn't remove us from pigol, right? And now we understand what that means, because shalolishma by shlamim is not a posel. Avchata shalolishma ein motzi midei pigol. And now, what about a shalolishma by karban chatas that will remove us from pigol because you posseled the other avodas? So elamaisach lemeimer mi ribui dekra kaasya hachinami mi ribui dekra kaasya. So basically, what can we all say definitively? It's the halachas of pigel as it relates to other karbanos are not taken from Shlamim, meaning yes, the Torah, when introducing us to Pigel, the Torah says it over by Shlamim, it applies to other Karbonos as well, but not modeling itself after Shlamim, but rather it's based on Ribuyim, on extra words, extra letters, but Ribuyim based on the other Karbonos. So now that we've established that Pigel by other Karbonos is learned via Ribuyim, so we can say the same thing by the Chatzos HaPnimios. By the Chatzos HaPnimios, it's derived through Ribuyim. I'm going to go through just a little bit more for this morning. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ba'aliyah Zushamati. I was up in the attic and I heard Tilas Etzba Mefagelas, so that for the Chatzos HaPnimios, when the Kohen inserts finger into the blood, so and he has a Machshavas Pigel, so it Pigel will occur. It does apply to even the Chatzos HaPnimios. Tali Bar Reish Lakish, when Reish Lakish hears this, he's like confused, he's wondering. Klum Lam De Pigel Alam Ishlamim? It's by the way, this is like a repeat conversation. But it's between other Amorim. What do you mean? Pigel in the Torah is located by Shlamim. Ma Shlamim ain't Tfilas Etzba Mefagels Behem. Ma Chatzos ain't Tfilas Etzba Mefagels Behem. There's no Tfilas Etzba by the Shlamim, so therefore there should be no Pigel, even by the Chatzos HaPnimios, when the Kohen inserts finger into the blood. V'chia kol mishlamim lamdu? What do you mean? Do we learn everything from Shlamim? Ima Shlamim Shalashma Meimotzi Midei Pigel. Av Chatzos Shalashma Meimotzi Midei Pigel. And so, the repeated point of, look, we don't learn everything from Shlamim. A Shalolishma by Shlamim, that doesn't upset the Pigel. Pigel can still work, so to say. But when you have a Shalolishma by Chatzos, that does upset the Pigel because you didn't do the other Avodas Bekashos. Okay. So at time we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. But basically now we now are for round one of this Masechta delving into the topic of Pigel. Quick recap for today. We finished off the Gemara from yesterday regarding Ben Azai adding Ola to the list of those Karbanos where Shalol Shema is going to be postal. The Gemara does not accept the Shita of Ben Azai, but the Gemara at least argued it, sharpened us a little bit in terms of making our Kavachomers. Then the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph taught us about Shalol Shema being a postal by Pesach and Chatzos by the Dalet Avodas, the Shita Rabbi Shimon that not Holacha, the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, kind of Holacha, a middle ground position, and then a discussion of the Gemara of the Shalol Shema by the Dalet Avodas, but really an introduction today into the Machshava of Pigel and how Pigel operates.